Well, praise the name of Jesus. We're talking on keys, the move of God, and we're dealing with the area, which I hadn't really planned on doing this, is dealing in the areas of covenant. But understanding covenants is a powerful thing, because a covenant really is not like just a regular contract. And when people try to contrast it to that, they don't really get the idea and the meaning of it. And we were looking at Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham, and we looked at the fact of Isaac. Tonight we're going to spend time with Jacob. Jacob is an enormous important figure in the Bible. There's so much about Jacob and his life that really, in the covenant God did, the covenant that he walked in was the covenant that God gave to Abraham. And so he was the fulfillment. And you know, one thing that's very interesting, you know, the Bible doesn't hardly talk about Isaac. It talks about Jacob. I often wonder why Christianity never noticed that. You know, Jacob, you know, there's not, from what we see in the scriptures, there's not a whole bunch of just great things to say about Isaac. But there is about Jacob. Jacob was probably one of the most mistaught person that I ever heard of in the Bible. Jacob's one of my favorite characters. Because Jacob was a man of faith. He wouldn't let anything stand between. I think, you know, from the statement made in the New Testament talked about the believers, and the Lord said that concerning the kingdom, the violent take it by force. That's Jacob. See, I want to be a Jacob. I don't want to be nothing like these sweet little Christian things sitting around waiting for God to give them a blessing. Amen. I'm going to go after the blessing. Amen. And this is what you want to do. See, this is what Jacob was. Jacob was one who went after the blessing. And his dad wanted to give the blessing to the heathen. That's what his dad wanted to do. And let me just say this going into talk, because we're talking about covenant. This covenant passed on from Isaac now is going to go on to the next generation, this covenant. One of the big sons, you understand this, God would never have allowed Isaac to give the covenant to Esau. We need to understand this. You can't run around and just pass your anointing on to anybody you want to. If you could do that, you could walk up to a sinner and say, be saved, and my salvation anointing is going to go on. We can't do that. God ain't going to allow that. We need to understand about anointing. Even among Christians, you can't pass your anointing off. You know, somebody has to have something to pass to you that God has given him. You can lay your hands on people all you want. You're not going to pass on something to them that God don't want them to have. You can lay hands on sick people and they're not going to get well because they won't come in line with the covenant. Now, everybody's, if everybody we laid a hand on would just get healed, people are responsible to things. And so you get Christians out here. I know Christians have hands laid on them hundreds of times. Ain't nothing ever happened to them. So it's nothing the matter with people. We need to understand this. If God passed the anointing on to Jacob, that was God's working. That was not his dad's. Amen. You know? We need to understand about we don't have control over the anointings of God where we just take them and do whatever we want. but it seems when it comes to Jacob, people really, they say, well, you know, Jacob, you know, man called Jacob and said, you know, that he was a supplanter. In other words, he was a guy who really was a bit of a cheat and that kind of stuff is what he was. He was not. He wasn't a cheat. His mother, God told his mother that the older would serve the younger. In other words, what did Dad do? Dad didn't pay any attention. Dad liked how the sinner cooked. That's what he wanted. He wanted the lunch. His belly was his God. He missed out. Do you know, I got to really study in that, because I knew for over 20 years that Isaac was blind, but actually he was blind for almost 35 years. Got studying into that. Here's a guy who's under the covenant of this covenant of blessing, and he ends up blind. Something the Bible says is the curse don't come without a cause. And this guy's so messed up. He thought he was dying when he passed on the covenant. He thought he was dying. He said, read the scripture. He thought he was dying. And you know what? He lived almost 35 years after that. He was still alive when Joseph was sold into Egypt. He was still alive. So Jacob was gone for 20 years and came back into the land for another 15. When you think about that, if you think about that, that's a quite incredible thing. And here's a guy that he doesn't know where he's at in his condition. Look at God's dealing with Abraham, and look at God's dealing with Jacob himself. God's just up front talking to them and reeled stuff along. This guy here didn't know where he was coming or going. What happened? Number one, see, he's walking in, and any of the blessing of his life came because of the covenant. It came because of the covenant. Jacob seemed to understand that. Jacob can see, he wanted that. It's number one, is wanting something in the responsibility of it. We're dealing with covenant. This is why we want to look at this tonight. God was really dealing with me from last week about this. Is dealing with Jacob and the covenant, because that's what Jacob wanted. Esau, his brother, when they were born, he was the first of the, they were twins. They definitely weren't identical twins. They didn't look anything alike. Esau was born first. And I always found this interesting in following scriptures. God usually doesn't follow the traditions of men and how people do it. We have so much, even in a church in America, how Christians have their traditions about things. But I found out a long time ago, God don't follow them. You know, their traditions were this. They had these traditions. And they were, the traditions were carried over, I'm pretty sure, probably from Abraham, how his, where he came out of, they had certain things that they did and the way they did. But one of the things they did is the eldest always got the, you know, anything that happened, the eldest, you know, gets everything passed to the eldest, and the rest of them get the meagers or whatever else is left, but the eldest always gets them. And God never did that. You know, God picked Jacob. God turned around and picked David. David was the youngest. God never followed in line with what God didn't do that. He didn't follow in line with what men. From the standpoint of God and his reasoning, it's one thing is God liked Jacob a lot. You know, we have Abraham, who Abraham's name was a covenant name given to him by God. It's a covenant name. Isaac had a covenant name, was given by God. That God named him. Jacob was named by man, and God changed his name like he did Abraham and changed his name. God looked at him as being a prince. Man said, he's a supplanter. This is what he is. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's sneaky. And you know what? The average preacher, and I mean, I've heard spirit-filled preachers and after time preach about Jacob, and they almost make me puke. They're so fleshly. They talk about Jacob. God liked Jacob. God wanted Jacob to have the anointing. He would have never gotten it. He went after it. He went after when his brother did an evil, wicked, terrible thing, the worst thing he ever did in his life, it wasn't marrying heathen women. It was having no care for the birthright. The anointing went with birthright. And he gave up his birthright for some food. See, this is one thing, and understand how this works in the areas of covenant. How do we treat our covenant? Do we value it, and do we treat it with honor? We understand where our covenant came from. You did not get it because you deserved it. You didn't get it because you did anything great. You didn't get it because you were wise or smart or anything like that. And our covenant is a everlasting, a powerful covenant. There has never been another covenant like it and never will be. How do we treat it? How do we? You know, the average Christian does not treat salvation very good. They don't even treat it very well. They don't treat it like it should. And see, when Jacob came along, his whole thing, he said to his brother comes in, he's hungry, he's out, he ain't got any, he was out hunting and didn't get anything, comes in, wants his brother's food, and his brother said, well, I've been cooking, you want my food, you're going to give up birthright. And he just did it to drop out. What good is have the birthright if I'm going to starve to death? This kind of man he is. Like he was going to starve to death. No. He got to be like his daddy. His God was his belly. My fleshly needs. The birthright had in it the leadership of the covenant. The covenant's going to follow that individual. See, you may have a call of God on your life, but never enter into it. Because how you treat the covenant, whether God will pass on to you. Just because you have a call, don't mean you're going there. I learned that. I knew how to call from the time I was born again. But there's certain things the Lord spoke to me over time is why he was leading me on to something else. Because I was walking in line with certain things with him about the covenant. And then he told me, yeah, now you're going to do this. Because you did this. So in other words, how do you treat the covenant? See, people say, I have a call from God. There's one thing is, when I knew I had a call from God, I always treated it very highly. There's things that I never got tied up in the world with what the other people did. I knew I was called and that stuff, but I didn't want to get tied up in the business world and all kind of stuff. I see Christian ministers, they get all tied up into all kind of things of the natural. The Bible says this, who preach the gospel is to live by it. Loads of ministers don't just, they have all kind of things on the side, they're doing all kind of stuff. Live off the gospel. Things are divided. I never did. I found this out. It was made when I got saved. People started offering you stuff, to do something. Before they never did it, but they started doing it. Christians would, because the devil would go get them to come and do it, try to get me to move off to something. And I never would. I would never get tied into it. I used to say, well, I'm going to go, I'm out in the gospel. I was working at Rescanning Company and I was, in leadership of the department and stuff that I was in. But, when I got born again, I realized it was consuming my time and with working and stuff and things I had to do. And I thought, I'm called to the ministry. I need to be able to get involved in church. If that's what I'm moving toward, I need to get what I need to be involved in. So to me, it wasn't, people say, well, you stepped down, you earned less money. Hold it. That is it about money? No. It ain't about money. It's what I'm called to do. See, that's the direction I'm moving in. Well, that's what you do. See, there's a lot of people, it's money determines whether, we never missed a step doing that, but following it. God took care of us all the time along. But I always chose it. See, do you really want something? See, Jacob wanted something. He wanted God. He wanted that leadership position. He wanted that place with that anointing. He wanted to carry God's plan and purpose. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to do. His brother didn't care. His brother thought, I just got out to do nothing. I just get it. It's just mine. In a sense, there's a lot of Christianity like that today. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm blessed and I'm this and that and the other. They don't realize. They're just toying and playing. They don't realize the importance of what they're doing. This is God's call in my life. This is not some person called me or somebody. People don't realize that. They think, well, it don't matter. I'm like everybody else out here. Yeah, you probably, God will deal with you like everybody else. I always wanted something higher. You're always going to step into something more. And I just want you to get on that. This is one of the things that people, we have lost in the church world. We have lost this thing in the importance of our positions and what God's called us to. And there's nothing, like we found out, if we just did what God told us to do, God would bless our lives, This is what the thing, because see, people think, well, I have to do this or I have to do that. I can't do that because, we need to do this because we need this or we have to have. I always got this, but if God can't supply for me, it's like when I came back, God called me came back here to Lebanon areas and told me to start a church. And I said to the Lord, I said, this is a place, if you don't take care of me here, I ain't going to do what you said. This is your job. It ain't my job to figure out about the money thing. If it's my job to figure out about the money thing, it's your job. You put me here. See, this is one thing. Every Christian needs to know where they're at, supposed to be at. Am I really doing what? Am I living where I'm supposed to be living? It's like me. I never went to church that God didn't send me to. Never. I always found out where God wanted me to be. See, many people, they don't do that. Well, you know, I want to go over here because most people say, well, I'm looking for a good church. Well, you probably couldn't know one was good or wasn't. No, here's the whole thing. You know, you can go to a place and it seems fine, but it's not. You can think it is. See, you know, it's not some outward thing you look at.
That's right.
See, there's one thing. When you know you're in the position you're supposed to be in, you can have faith that God will take care of you there. If you don't know, you can't have strong faith to know that God will take care of you there.
That's right.
So that's what you want to know. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? It's number one. Don't follow the money. Follow God.
Amen.
Always do that. Follow God. Make sure. Is God saying to do this? Does God want me to do this? Because it goes over in a thing for the natural. People get worried about that stuff. Well, you know, I have to do this and I have to do that. And I do. Well, make sure, because, you know, is number one, your spirituality is more important than your bankroll.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you what, you get out of your spirituality and you may spend all your bankroll trying to get healed. You might spend all your bankroll trying to bail your kids out of jail. You might spend all your bankroll. That's what people... See, this is one thing is I always did is, if I knew that I'm in the will of God, see, that's what the Lord taught me from the beginning. See, this is about covenant. And the covenant said, if I did what the Lord told me to do, my wife would be as a fruitful vine by the house of my children, as olive plants around the table. That's covenant. Now, outside of that, you ain't got that. You know what? It don't matter if you're a Christian, but you got to walk in what God tells you to do. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. But I'm just going to tell you, does it ever pay off? Number one, you have this great peace and knowing inside. Your faith works. Your faith. You have strong faith toward God. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know you're walking in it. And it's like there's a confidence you have in you. And when other people are struggling, they're just trying to believe God to get through this. You ain't doing that. You're not doing that. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm walking. God told me to be here. He's going to take care of me here. I'm not sitting trying to believe for every little thing and change every little thing. And takes the weight off of you.
Amen.
It does. Mm-hmm. Takes the weight off of you. And that's what God wants. That's how you get to rest. You don't get to rest by everything getting easy. You get to rest. I know where I'm at. These things are going on around me, but God's taking care of me. Yeah,
amen.
I know it. See, I'm here where He belongs. See, this is, I would always say, you know, I'm where God belongs. I'm in my land of milk and honey. That's where I live. Now, I don't leave the land of milk and honey unless God says, leave this one and go to another one. I don't pick it because somebody says, you know, you can make more money over there. You could get this or you could do... No. It's whether God puts you there. Jacob set himself in a direction here. He wanted something. He was after something. And so he set himself in that direction. God gave him the anointing. His dad didn't. God did. His dad didn't give him the anointing. If his dad gave him the anointing, then you can just pass on and whatever you have to anybody else. Just lay your hand on him. Well, I want to see you do it. And I want to see it work. I was one time in a meeting. And it's a guy I knew pretty well in the ministry. But he got over and I thought, he got in a meeting and, you know, all these people. You know, God used him in an area with a healing anointing. And he had a special healing anointing. And God really used him in that area. He had a specific anointing to do it. He just wasn't just by faith doing it. He had a special anointing. But then he went and turned around. He's up ministering one night and he stops and he says this. Anybody out here that you want this anointing that's on me, come on, I'll lay hands on it. Well, every person that was sincere got up and 500 flaky people got up. And he laid hands on you, rub the hair. God never told him to do that. This isn't some toy you throw out there. You don't. He was just laying an empty hand on empty heads. That's all he was doing. He's up there doing this kind of stuff. God wasn't in. He said about doing that. I thought, oh no. Because, you know, he'll get all these flaky people. You know, I got this special anointing. And you know, if they'll run around, people won't get healed. Things won't happen. Because men are doing it out of their thing. You know, if God didn't call you to it, I don't care if somebody... Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. And this, he told him, number one, about the healing, about the prophetic anointing, being a prophet. Jesus specifically appeared to him and told him, he said, the prophet's ministry in the New Testament is not like the prophet's ministry in the Old Testament. He said, the prophet of the Old Testament, he was anointed by God, but none of the people were. They weren't born again. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. They would get things and verify things or wait for the prophet to tell them stuff. In the New Testament, it's like that. The ministry of the prophet in the New Testament is to verify to you what you already know God saying to you. It's a verification ministry. If you heard it from the first time and God ain't been dealing with you on it, don't run off and act like you got something. You got to find out, is God saying this? Because Brother Hagin used to say this, I heard him say it many times, minister. He'd minister to people and he'd say something. Now, if I didn't speak to you about what God's dealing with you on, he said, just forget it. He said, I'm a man. I can miss it. But see, it's something God deals with you. See, I've had this all the time in my life. I've had many times that people were, I've had other ministers and stuff where God had me speak to them about something that God was dealing. They'd say, you know, God's been talking to me about this and that, you know, and going through. It was just a verification for them that they're heading in the right direction. It's, you're not trying to guide anybody's life. You don't guide people's lives. If you are, you're out of line. It's not your job to guide other people's lives. We don't do that. You know, we listen to teaching. We have them listen to teaching, listening to the word. Don't sit around and tell them everything they're supposed to do. Let them grow up and hear from God. And if they don't want to grow up here, we have all this stuff today where, you know, people and their mentors. And a lot of their so-called mentors ain't mentors at all. All they do is control their lives. And the person don't ever really grow up. They're always hanging on that person. That's not what you're called to do. People help you grow up. You know what? I'm not my daughter's mentor. You know, we had a time we taught them when they're young, and today they got to walk and live it. We have too much nonsense in the church that is totally unscriptural, and it's not at all God. But you know, we don't let people grow up. We don't let them go fall. We just keep picking them up. Let them learn to get up off the ground themselves every once in a while. Because you just run and pick them up. I'm going to tell you what, you've done ruined their lives. Yep. Don't be surprised they never grow up. We've been training people, take care of them all the time. Don't grow up. You grow up. You learn. You're on your own. I remember my daughters, both of them, you know, getting married. I told them, see, now, your daddy's not your head. Your husband is. Say, if you don't like it, don't come to me and cry anymore. You're making a choice. This is your baby. Don't cry to me about it. You better know God said. You know, but they had to know that. I'm not their authority. Most parents never give that up. They think they're in control for the rest of their lives. They keep trying to control. That's why people never grow up. Everything stays messed up. And just, I gave that up a long time ago. I don't try to fix everything in their lives. That ain't my job. I got enough to do. This is good teaching. It's one of the things is being in the covenant. We want to get people into a covenant. Jacob, I love because he understood about the covenant. This is what's important to him, is the covenant. So he was after the birthright because with the birthright, you need to understand this, birthright is what gets you into the covenant. You can only get into Christianity if you get born again. You cannot get in any other way. Covenants in the Bible are different. You're not born into a contract. Covenants in the Bible, people are born into. It passed through generations. Why? It passed in through birth. This is why. The kingdom of God, this covenant that we are in, it is by birth. It required everybody who enters it can only come into the covenant through birth. It was like for Israel. Gentiles could come over and live with the Jews and either, you know, practice their religious stuff. But, you know, they were never allowed to go into the temple area. They had an outer court where they called a court of the Gentile. The Gentile could go to, but the inner court where the sacrifices and stuff were offered, only the Jew could enter into that place. God's presence was in the building there. They could go to that place. It's just like with us. We're the temples of God. In this covenant, we become the temples of God. And you can only become a temple of God through birth. That's the only way it is. And there you enter this covenant. Now, all the rites are based on that. This is one of the things that we do, and I see Christians do this all the time. They tell sinners to pray. They tell them to do things. Hold it, hold it, hold it. The covenant rites are to the people in the covenant. The Gentiles never had the same thing, a covenant rite. It's about entering to the covenant. And it requires birth. You know, God would sure be glad if a sinner wanted to talk to him, but he wants to lead him to Christ, is number one. They're not going to have all the blessings of the covenant. It ain't going to happen. We're trying to get them to have the blessings of the covenant without entering the covenant. They should never expect that. We are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. Think about that. You see, these blessings go with covenant. They go with covenant. And that's why we want people to come to this covenant, because in the covenant is the full blessing of God. That's where it's at. You know, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But he don't cause all the blessings of heavenly places to fall on the just and the unjust. You might get rain, but the devil might give you a storm. See, this covenant thing is hugely, it's enormous. And one of the things I want to look at, because after Jacob got the covenant, the first thing he does is, when he leaves, you know, they say, well, his brother wants to kill him, you know. His brother, I'm a lying, cheating crook. I don't really care about the things of God, but I'm supposed to have the blessing in my bad brother, you know. It's just the same thing that the sinner does toward the Christian today. We hate Christianity. We want to kill him, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what we want to do. You know, I want to live like hell and still have the blessing. God loves everybody. Yeah, okay, yes he does. But you know what? People in the covenant, he loves them more, and I can prove it, but what he'll do for them, what he won't do for the other one. He likes me more. See, now as people say, well, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God in the covenant, that who I are. I'm a special kid. And see, you need to understand, when we entered this thing, we're not like everybody else. God deals with us completely differently. We have access to what the rest of people don't have access to. See, we're not like everybody. But see, this is what the church has become. It's just a place for everybody and everything. And we wonder why the power of God wanes. Because the gospel's been waning. People are told you can have the blessing, but you don't have to follow. You don't have to walk in this. You don't have to have that. You know, God's just, because God's good. Yes, God is good. But I'm going to tell you, is he being good to everybody out here? They have a lot of the goodness? Oh, that's, huh? Everything's just running well, isn't it? Well, see, we have such a weird gospel. It's no wonder people are messed up out here, that they don't, it's all just talk about stuff. But we're saying things to people without, they don't understand what it requires that they can enter into this. Yes, God's good. But you know, you got to come to this goodness. You can't stay out there in that place. You can't have that goodness, you know. I understand totally why so many people believe everybody's going to heaven. I understand why they do. The church has left the incompletion. God's good. He loves everybody. You know, they run around and say these stupid sayings, about, you know, God's love, you know, God loves everybody and, you know, everything and loves everybody. And so everybody, you know, God's going to act in love. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't operate that way. God loves everybody, but God don't bless everybody. They say, no, they have the nerve to say this. And I'm going to tell you what, there's so many bad, so-called good ministers people listen to. You know, to make mention of the love of God, you know, that they use that term of God's love is unconditional. Well, no wonder people believe you can just, everybody's going to heaven. Well, God's love's conditional. You don't respond to Jesus Christ, you ain't going to heaven. There's conditions about having the having that love and walking. Is the love of God shed abroad in the hearts of everybody? Well, it's unconditional. Well, I'm sorry, none of that's true. I mean, how could you think that a covenant has no conditions? Whoever came up with that idea? Well, the devil has preached another gospel in the church so well that even full gospel, spirit-filled people preach it. Because it's nice and gushy in it. Oh, we open to everybody. Makes everybody feel good. That's why Paul was running around killing Christians, because the gospel made everybody feel good. But what Jacob did is Jacob went out and he headed on his place. Jacob laid down to sleep. And when he laid down to sleep, he had a vision. And in that vision, you know, it says it's called about Jacob's ladder. Actually, the real Hebrew word there is more like a stairway. It wasn't a ladder he saw. It's a stairway. But he saw angels going up and down. They weren't climbing up, you know, and down on a house roof, you know, off of a ladder. They went, it's a stairway. In other words, what he saw was the interaction in the earth. And I never heard anybody preach this, but this is what he saw. The interaction of heaven and in the earth. Angels going back and forth from heaven down here. They come down here and do things. They come back, they do things. Stuff like that going on, folks. Angelic beings back and forth. The word angel, really, it's the word messenger. They're into the earth. And so he saw this. And so when he saw this, is one thing is he understood quickly this fact. See, he had lands on him. He has received something from God. And now God gave him a vision concerning, this is about the covenant. You know, I had taught a long time back about Jacob and about Jacob and angels. Jacob, follow through and read during his period of time, how many times angels appeared to him, and how he got revelations about angels nobody else ever got in the Bible. We don't see it any place else in the Bible, but through him. He saw encampments of angels in the earth. Most spirit-filled people don't even know that that exists. But it exists in the earth. There's encampments of angels in this earth. He saw them. Seemed these encampments followed him around. Why? Because he was a real covenant believer. You know? Angels are sent to minister for the heirs of salvation, not to. They're ministered for you. We need to put them to work. See, walk in line with the covenant. They got work to do then. They got work to do. They got their job taking care of you. Why take care of people who aren't paying any attention to the covenant? So, but he did this, and here's one thing that I like that he did. In Genesis, the 28th chapter, Jacob then said this to God after he awoke and this thing went on. Jacob made this statement. He said, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat, clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this is 28:20. Genesis 28:20. He said, and this stone, now he had this stone, I'm assuming it's a stone he had laid his head on. You know, I'd have picked a better thing to lay a head on rock. But that's what he chose. He said, which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So he makes a commitment to God. He's saying, okay, here God's got his covenant with him. He's under covenant of God. So he says, you're going to take care of me, then this is what I'll do. See, it's one of the things And I find this out. I always like, you know, with Jacob, because Jay, this sort of reminds me of a bit of like, you know, getting born again with Jacob. The night I got born again, I made a commitment to God. That night, you know, I was saved, and the Lord commended me later on and spoke to me that was one of the reasons why I followed Him so diligently, that I had made a commitment to Him. He said, most Christians want my commitment to them, but they never commit to me. Jacob did something powerful here. He committed himself, and he set up a sign. Sign of covenant. Remember we talked about that last week? He set this stone there. They used to, you know, do that, would set a stone. Why a stone? An indestructible thing. See, it's going to end up being there. You know, you can go away for years and go back and the rock's still there to remind you. Were you doing that? See, he went and put that rock there and he actually anointed that rock. But he put that there. This is a sign. In other words, this rock's here and I come back here. See, and any time that rock's here, I am reminded of my covenant. See, you always want to be reminded. Many people in that, they'll make commitments to God, but they don't ever make a sign. They don't ever make something that keeps them reminded that I made a covenant to God that I said that I would do. See, in keeping that covenant, why? Because covenant is a powerful thing. He keeps covenant like the Lord told me, you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. Now, his family got to be a bunch of heathens, but did he take care of them? Did God? Why? His daddy. You see, I see this stuff all through the Bible. See, what God said to me, this is Bible. Amen. It's not the stuff that people teach today. They don't teach. They teach all this, you know, there's a lot of hit and miss stuff. It's not. Covenant is a hugely powerful thing. If God can find a person to stand in the covenant, He can bless other people. The reason He doesn't is because lots of times people aren't keeping covenant. They do not have a commitment or a vow to it. Jacob did. And so Jacob made this covenant to God. And God blessed him. In fact, in Genesis in chapter 30 and verse 43, it says, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, females and male servants and camels and donkeys. God blessed this guy. Now, here's something just interesting to throw in. Now, we see the tithe when we go over to Abraham. Where Abraham paid a tithe, paid a tenth to God. Here he brings this up, the tithe. Where does this come from, this tithe thing? See, the tithe's not under the law. See, when anybody tells you, we don't tithe today because the tithe's under the law, that's a lie. The tithe was never started under the law. God commanded it under the law. Abraham and Jacob gave the tithe by their own free will. That's how I tithe. I don't tithe to the law. Because if I'm doing it to the law because the Bible says I have to, that means law. That means, you know, I'm trying to get blessed by works. I don't get blessed by works. I give tithe because I want to. It's like they say, you know, if they gave more under the law than men give under grace, that's a disgrace.
Amen. That's right.
But there's one thing as I know this. These guys didn't decide this thing. I believe you probably go back to Adam and them in the beginning. I believe God had set some principles up with them after they were kicked out of the garden and stuff. See, they're going to have to learn to walk into some things. You can come out here and just do any old thing you want. And because where did Abraham get this thing in the tithe? I'm going to give a tenth. Well, we know this thing got passed, so there must have been something to it. Got passed down, and Jacob understands this principle. And he says to God, and here's one thing, he understood from this standpoint, see, if God's not going to take care of me, I ain't going to tie it to Him. See, these people, they say, oh, you know, you can't be like that. Hold it. I'm not in a one-way covenant with me give everything to God and He don't do nothing. If anybody's going to be the blesser, it's going to be Him. And see, most people have a wrong, this whole thing about giving is a wrong thing. Most people's, the reason they do it and whatever else, is why I give because I'm blessed. I'm in the covenant of blessing. I am blessed. I don't tithe to get blessed. The reason I tithe is I'm blessed. God's keeping up His side of the covenant. Therefore, I can tithe and give more offerings than I do tithe. And I do. Wanda and I give more offerings than we do tithe. Amen. And we do that as we walk in that. See, we need to understand the reason I do this is because the covenant, the more I understand covenant, the more I understand how God will take care of me.
Amen.
And the more He does a good job at it. See, and you got to come to this place. This whole thinking, this they're touching it. Well, I got to give this money so I can get this from God, and it's all this kind of stuff that they're doing. I'm sorry. Money follows me. It comes after me. It's the design of the covenant. Now, understand this. Jacob just makes a commitment to give God a tenth, but he ain't going to give it to him until God blesses him. He said, you bring me back here and bless me, I'll give you a tenth of it. See, the covenant's no good. This is where the Christianity. Christianity puts our side, we got to do first to get God to do good. I'm sorry, that ain't the way the covenant works. God does good whether or not it's got any good sense or not. He'll bless me. That's why many Christians start off with, and they first start off as a Christian, they get a lot of blessings and things, and after a while they ain't getting blessings no more. Because they're not walking toward God, toward the blessing. They're not doing it. It's all a one-way street. No, God started, you know, God started blessing me right away. You know, God blessed our lives, you know, and that stuff, just things that God did for us. So many miraculous things and stuff, and things starting off. Well, to me, it was only natural to be learn to trust Him and just, you know, whatever He wants, go ahead and do it. It was the easiest thing in the world. And all these people are trying to get, we're going to try to get God, move God. I'm sorry, God started the move business. God didn't wait till Ed did something, and then He said, I'm going to send Jesus to the cross because Ed finally did something down there. See, we have a wrong ideas of this. There's a lot of wrong preaching. A lot of legalism in it.
Amen.
You're in a bless me club. And it is. It's a bless me club. And if you understand it, and I mean, you ain't out of here and just say, well, this is all about what I get. No, this is a bless me club. It blesses both ways. I bless God. God blesses me. We're in it. We're a team. That's what we are. We're a team. We work together. See, in getting that into our minds, we're not. Too many people are working for blessing. No, my labor for God is what He calls me to do is to do. He provides it. He is the master. I am the servant. Therefore, it's His job to take care and make sure the servant has the stuff he needs.
Amen.
Or I ain't going to work for him. You know, I'm not having. See, Christians are spending their entire life trying to accumulate things and get. I'm trying to get blessings. No, blessings follow. These signs follow them that they believe. That believe in my name, they'll do these things. Don't it sound like, see, things follow me? Power follows me to bless. Power, this is the way it operates. See, get into this thing. This is about covenant. Jacob jumps right on this thing. He makes a commitment. Now, I'm going to go into Genesis, and I want to read tonight to you from the 31st chapter, because I want to show you some things that the Bible says, and it'll help you clear up some of the things that people say about Jacob. They think, oh, like, Jacob, you know, he cheated Laban. Laban was the biggest crook in town, and I want to tell you who took Laban's stuff. It's God, and we're going to prove it by the Bible, and not by some crazy preacher telling us the stories that somebody told him about bad Jacob. Laban was a cheat and a crook, and he got rich because of all of Jacob's labor, and he did nothing but cheat him all the time. And God had the unjust get all this stuff, and then He turned it over to the righteous. Oh, and we don't like that in Christianity, but Christianity today is, no, the guy that's doing nothing, let's take care of him all the time. Let's feed him and do all this stuff, and let's look after him. Okay, good preaching. Anyhow, Genesis 31. Starts off in the first verse of 31. It says, now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. And from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Now listen to this. If this man's a crook, then God's a crook. Well, wouldn't it? If God is telling him to get out of the town with his stuff, then God is just as much of a thief. Now, preachers preach, this guy's like a thief. You know, he's taking Laban across. I've heard that more times than a little bit. Then God's a thief. God told him to get the stuff and get out of town. So it says, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah, to the field to his flock, said to them, I see your father's countenance that is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. See, now he knows God's been with him. God's been with him. He knows this. This is God. Now he says, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. See, the wealth of wicked is laid up for the just. This is why you want to walk in the covenant. Because see, that's a covenant blessing. That is not to everybody just because they're born again. Walk in line with the covenant. God will take, do what God says, whether or not. You know, one thing I like about Jacob, Jacob didn't leave till God told him to. He didn't get mad after the first or second time he got cheated and left. He didn't leave. See, he's under a covenant with God. God's going to direct his life, not him. It's where people make big mistakes. See, it's knows when it's time for you to leave something, make sure God said. See, people many times don't do that. And they leave. Because, well, things are a little hard. Well, I found this. Whenever things got a little hard for Ed, if Ed was patient, there was a big payday for Ed if he patiently went through it. But if you don't be surprised there's not a big payday. You might have blessed you some, but I want God to bless it. So he goes on. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, and all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. It says, so God has taken away the livestock of your father and give them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. You see, God's talking to this man. God's visiting him. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. So then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Did he say that Jacob's been cheating Laban? No, only a bunch of crazy Christians talk like that. See, God see. You know, these things are directly written in the Bible, and I've heard many over the years of preaching against Jacob. Like he was some, you know. He went through this hard thing because he was a cheat. No, God's making him rich. You know what? He don't need his daddy's money. He can believe God, and God will take care of him.
Amen. Amen.
See, I ain't waiting for a relative to die so I can get their money. God will bless me. See, you're in the covenant. Who do we want blessed from? Remember Abraham? Guys, the king comes out and says, you keep all the stuff that you got down there, you know, just give us the people. You keep. He said, I ain't going to have any of you guys saying, you guys made me rich. He said, my God will make me rich. All those people do is looking at other people to get stuff, looking around. You know, somebody would give me this. You know, they have this. What is this thing, this giving day coming or something? That there's some kind of thing that they have now. Well, I get these emails from all these ministries now, you know. This sort of giving thing it is, you know. And they're really, you know, really believe, oh, this is giving time. I was thinking about sending them all an email and asking them to give me money. Say, but it's a giving day, will you give me some? See, they use these kind of things, you know. They use this stuff. This is the church world today. It's worldly. Mm-hmm. It does what the world does. Well, he said, I'm the God. He said, listen to this. This God said, and I am the God of Bethel. That's the place he was. He did. Where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then it says, and Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are already ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to do, do it. This man's a scoundrel. He's dealing with a covenant man, and God's come along and saying, all this stuff's going on, I did it. Now, anybody don't like what Jacob did, you go blaming God. I would say this, don't criticize Jacob. It'll probably get you in your life somewhere alone. You don't ever criticize the innocent. I don't care if it's dead innocent. You don't go around and talk about people that didn't do nothing wrong. Because some dummy came along and said, well, this happened or that happened. It don't matter. You be careful about those things. See, we're covenant people. So God knew how. Did God take the wealth of the wicked and give it to the just? Yeah. See, God take care of you wherever you're at. Whatever you're in, you're doing, God will take care of you. You know, you just have to come to the point God says to do. You know, I remember when the Lord, spoke to me about going to Ramah. I mean, here I am working. Why did I not have a bunch of money or anything like that? You know, pick up your family and move across the country and that stuff. I can truthfully tell you this. I didn't worry about that at least. I didn't worry about it at all. See, I'd come through enough and learned enough over time, and Wanda and I had learned enough that you can go do the will of God and God will take care of you.
Amen.
See, many times, I watch people do this. God's trying to build them and they won't get built. They won't really go after God. And God's going to offer them something down the line and they ain't going to do it. He's going to want them to do something that's going to be the blessing of their life, and they ain't going to do it because they ain't going to have no faith to do it. They've never walked where they should in the covenant, and they don't have the faith to do it. See, Wanda and I, we knew about giving to God when we didn't have two nickels to rub together, We were just looking about, boy, we can get all the bills paid. But we did this thing. God always got his first. God got it first. Why? Because I'm going to act like I got something and like I don't. When we don't, we're acting like we don't have any. We're not acting, we're the blessed. We're not in a covenant with God. We can't trust God to take care of us. We've got to watch ourselves. We've got to look. You can't do that. So you've got to come to the place. We're in God. We're in a covenant with God. And God will bless. He'd be a fool not to bless me. My God ain't a fool. He'll do his word. And see, this is what he wants. Jacob's out there. Jacob's going, you might work with somebody. 10 times they cheated you out of what they owed you. 10 times. And most places, they prepared you to cheat them out of something and they would leave instantaneously. You've got to learn to stop and say, well, is God telling me to do it? He may have a time to do it. Like he did with me when I worked in that big grocery store in the meat department, and my boss wouldn't give me a raise, and he's giving all these lazy people raises and all his buddies raises. But you know what? God told me. God spoke to me what I was supposed to do. This was a test for me. This is my test. The Lord said, first of all, see, you don't leave someplace or leave or don't do things because things ain't going well. Because that don't mean you're going by faith.
That's right.
Only faith pleases God. God's going to have me leave by faith, not leave by because something happened that ain't good. This is what he's going to do. See, Jacob's in a test spot, and I'm going to tell you what, he got a doctorate. He stayed till Jacob, he'd been cheated and cheated and cheated, and God turned around and gave him everything. But see, he stayed and he stayed, and you know what? He stayed till God said, go, get, hey, pack up and leave. It's time to go now.
Yep.
It didn't even look like it was a good time to run, but he's obeying God. See, we want to see great blessings. You know, but I'm just going to say this. Great blessings come many times through great trials. Mm-hmm. This is where you have to learn. This is where you trust God. And, you know, I said, you know, when God told me, he said to go to Ramah, he did it in January 1987. He spoke to me at Reese Candy Company. I can tell you, I was standing up at one of the wafer ovens, standing up toward one of the wafer ovens, and the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to go to Ramah this year. Now, he hadn't spoken to me about that at all, but I knew it was the Lord's tongue. And I just knew inside I was supposed to go. And I thought, okay. And I thought, well, Lord, you're going to have to get that one across to Wanda. I said, I'm just, you know, I'll tell her to set in a direction, but I want her to know. She can hear from God too. She needs to know. Well, and over time, God did things and blessed us in that stuff. We had to going to school. They had what they get acquainted with Rhema, which we went to. And Wanda went, and then I'll never forget after we had been there, and Wanda said to me, she said, I know we're supposed to be here. And you know, see, I wanted that. We don't want to go through this thing of, you know, following God and dragging somebody else along. I see people do that and it never works. It never works. That's no good. And anyhow, so, but see, God spoke to her and we knew what we were supposed to do. But I remember this, we talked about doing it. And we went and sat down and, you know, we didn't have any money, but we planned for like we had a lot of money. That's what we did. We planned like we had a lot of money. We said, we ain't taking some of the kids' stuff along, you know, and that, 'cause this most people do. They'll go and they'll take a little bit of things along and they go out to school and haul their family. The kids don't have half their stuff and, you know, they go, well, we decided, well, we're going to go. We're going to get a spacious place to live where the kids have, each of them have their room. So you're going to Bible school with no money and you're going to get a place like that, you know, you're going to go, that's what we did. That's what we planned for. God sending me there. He better have his wallet out. God didn't get nervous, you know. You know, we're going to take everything. I'm taking everything with the kids. Because I decided this. You know, God didn't say, well, come back. Well, you come back here. What you going to go? I didn't know. And you know what? So I'm just, hey, I'm going to have everything. God says do something else. We're all ready to do something else. We're not going to be sitting around and, no, we're going. And so we needed a big truck. You couldn't get a little U-Haul. You know, we needed a truck. Because we're taking all the stuff along. We're going to take it like we're going to live there. I'm so glad we did. Some of the students, people around, and I watched some people and their kids, and they didn't live good. We're doing the will of God. Well, I find you can do the will of God. God told me if I had to do his will, he'd take care of my family. They didn't know that. They thought it was their job. You know, we all got to suffer for Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do the suffering, but I want my family ain't going to be doing the suffering. I'll do the suffering, okay? But anyhow, it all worked out. See, this is Jacob. This is what Jacob did. Now Jacob, you know, he just doing what God told him to do, but he walked by faith. This is covenant. Does the covenant work? Mm-hmm. It passed on, you know, we'll go on more about Jacob and looked at some things here with Jacob and then with Joseph and things. But understand this. This covenant passed on down through. God, he does the will of God, and look what happens as God does. I mean, his sons try to mess everything up, and in the middle of it, Joseph, you know, whom they sell him off to slavery, say he's dead, becomes the, what? God's plan, God's working. God's gonna honor Joseph, Jacob, and what he did, and God's going to honor it, and God's going to bless them through this thing. These heathen boys, it's just like when he got down to Egypt, God was working this thing a whole time. God was working. We're out here trying to mess everything up. But you know what? God didn't move because of them. He moved because of the honor of his father. And his father had a son and his name was Joseph who was honorable. And he could use him because he couldn't use the rest of them heathens down there. The Egyptians would have strung them up. And you know what? Joseph went through some stuff, didn't he? Some trials and tests and that stuff. And you know what? The wealth of the wicked was laid up for the just. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? Did he just go lay down and cry and just, oh, I'm going through a hard time? No. He did great in everything he did, even as a slave. The New Testament says, a slave, if you're a Christian and you're a slave, you do good for your master. You work good for him. God wants to bless. See, people fighting everything. They fight everything today. Christians fight everything today. And we wonder why the wealth of the wicked won't come to the just. In the covenant, is the people will start. God will take care of us. The covenant, he will always honor the covenant. He will bypass many of people who could have had the blessing, who will not get it, to get to a person who will honor him. But God's going to fulfill his covenant through somebody. He can find somebody who will let him fulfill the covenant through. He all down through, he had, look how many kings in Israel he couldn't fulfill it, but he always found somebody. How many kings were blessed because David walked right, so God blessed his heritage down through. The Messiah is going to come because he walked right. It wasn't the rest of them because of what he did. See, I was blessed because my daddy was righteous before God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, we pass on the heritage. We pass on the thing. God, because I walked right, God said, I'll bring your brothers and sisters into the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
This is about covenant, folks.
Amen.
This is covenant. Hallelujah. So, we need to quit griping so much about things. God's going to fulfill his covenant. He's going to find somebody to stand up. Let's be ones who stand up.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be the ones.
Amen.
I've learned not to wait for everybody else. You know, too many people are waiting for somebody else to do something. Hallelujah. God, if I walk right, God will honor me.
Amen.
And he will bless my heritage because of me if I walk right before him.
Amen. That's right.
Why? I'm in a covenant with God, an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, more of this should have been preached to the church world, and it's not, because we don't have it in our culture. There's no way to look in our culture to find covenant. We don't have it. Covenants are everlasting things. Glory to God. And you're in one.
Amen.
It is. I'm going to tell you, your covenant, I don't want to ever quit. It's, God has given it, and it stands forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, so we don't know, I messed up. Dear Lord, look how many people messed up. And God said, look how David messed up. But David always honored the covenant.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to tell you, God would never do nothing for me if it was by my works.
Right.
He honors covenant because why? I have faith in his covenant.
Amen.
That's what I have faith in. I don't have faith in it. It don't work. I tried that one. It's his covenant. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for opening these things and revealing to us to see, Lord God, things that are in your scriptures that are so wonderful and good and so blessed to this world. Lord God, you have a plan and fulfillment to the end, Lord God, of our time here in the earth, and you will fulfill it and you will do it. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have a glorious church. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God. The church is not glorious because we're so perfect. We're glorious because you made us glorious. It's your great working and your covenant. Oh, is such a glorious and wonderful, everlasting covenant. And Lord God, we set our desires and our hearts to trust you. Hallelujah. And Father God, we will never be disappointed because you are a great and wonderful God. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.